Hello, everyone. This is Cormac coming at you before the episode, and I've got bad news once again. We tried to film it. The file and everything's basically been corrupted from video, so we do have audio for this episode. But yeah, once again, we talk about video a lot, I think, in this because we were quite excited, thought it was going to work. Files ended up getting corrupted. Really frustrating. I've been fucking around with it for about an hour. But yeah, this is me just giving a bit of intro saying, ignore everything we say about video. This is audio only, but nonetheless, another corking episode. Talk about a whole lot of rubbish, and it was really good fun. I'm now going to send you to Cormac and Taylor from it yesterday. Please enjoy.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 5 of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast. In real life, in the sense of me and Taylor are talking, this is the first time we're hopefully going to have audio and video of us in person together. This is just on the back of us having a Sunday fun day. Me and Taylor kicked a bit of the ball around, watched some football, drank a substantial amount of booze, and now we thought now's the prime time to talk about football. Taylor, how are we?
It's a great day for the boys.
It is a great
Great day
day.
for the boys. It's been a Sunday fun day. It's been a glorious day here in West London. It's been 17 degrees. It's been sunny. We had the world's worst football to kick around a park, and then we went on to watch the world's most boring game of football of maybe all time.
Oh, God,
But
yeah.
most importantly, it has been today the Taylor and Cormac derby.
It has. Man United versus Arsenal. We've literally finished what, 5 minutes ago? I think it's time to just talk about the game and just get that out of the way. 1-1 final score. Probably a fair result, I think. However, Man United definitely had the better opportunities there, didn't they?
Yeah, I think we had the better opportunities, but we were not the better team. I
Yeah.
think you guys were obviously the better footballing team. We just managed to create, which is crazy because we never create anything, enough opportunities to make us think that we should have won the game. I think you guys were very dull, but so were we.
Yeah.
But we just create, we were the less dull team.
I think so. That
Less dull team.
first half especially, nothing happened.
Yeah.
It was so boring. Thank God me and Taylor were a little bit pissed because it was so dull. And then that Bruno free kick, to his, which again, I mean, on the back of him scoring that free kick against Everton as well, was a really nice goal. Maybe, am I being a bit critical saying Raya should have maybe done better there?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll start off by just saying Bruno Fernandes has been the engine
Yeah.
of our team for the last few weeks. During this really bad patch of form, Fernandes has stretched cleared of everyone else. In terms of the standards he's setting, in terms of the goals and assists that he's providing, I think he's been standing at the best. And I think the free kick, it almost felt like I never think Manchester United are going to score. Never do I ever think
I don't think
Manchester
anyone
United are
does,
going to
don't
score.
worry,
But
yeah.
actually, funny enough, when he went to go take that free kick, there was something about that situation. Well, in fact, you said, I'm not going to look at my phone
I know,
because
God, yeah, just
just
as
in
that was that going to
case
happen.
they score, I'm not going to look at my phone. And then, lo and behold, Fernandes puts it in,
Well,
which
scored.
was the best way to end the first half. Although, the thing that worried me the most is we were so bad in that first half. As were Arsenal, but we were
Yeah.
especially so bad. And Manchester United scoring in the end, I thought, gosh, this could challenge the record that we've had since 1984, where we've led at half time for hundreds of games and we've never lost.
338 games or 88 games? It was
Yeah,
one of those.
something insane. Since 1984, and we've never ever lost. And I thought, that's dreadful. We could definitely 100% lose this game. But we very well could lose this game.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we did not. We did not. We battled it, and I actually thought the defense, considering how makeshift it is,
Yeah.
considering second half we had a back three of De Ligt, Lindelof, and Aiden
Henderson
Henderson,
came on,
I thought
yeah.
that's a very, creditable performance to not lose the game.
I thought, to be fair, I think your back line, I think De Ligt especially had quite a decent game.
Agreed.
Again, I think going the back of Arsenal winning 7-1, but we'll touch on Europe later. But the back of Arsenal winning 7-1 in the week, where we looked a lot more dangerous and we were playing those balls, we were making those runs, that went again. Again, this might say more about PSV's quality than it does Arsenal's quality going forward, but it was just the first half, especially. We dominated the ball, we dominated possession. I don't think we really created a clear-cut chance. I don't think there was anything there, and that was just quite frustrating once again to watch. And again, credit to Man United, credit especially to the back line. The midfield was fine. I don't think Man United played poorly by any means, and especially going in the second half, They had a good few chances. Højlund had that one chance, which was a good tackle from Gabriel. Zalit had that. Zalit, what am I talking about? Xerxes had that chance. That he had the back heel as well, which was ambitious.
Yeah.
Raya made a few good saves. I think a draw probably was a fair result. You definitely had... I mean, I'm curious to see the XG. I haven't looked at that yet. But I think Man United definitely had the better chances. But in terms of Arsenal had more of the ball and, you know, possession, but that means fuck all, really. But I think probably a draw is probably fair.
Yeah, 100%. I think you can look at that game and think it almost had draw written all over it. I think from an Arsenal perspective, you guys really look so competent in possession. I think your defences, they're big boys, so they're steadied. And I think that midfield, I just think that it's that bite in attack which you guys have been missing. And it's a shame because... What was your thoughts on Odegaard for that game? So I thought personally he looked very tidy, very, you know, competent, and it was almost running the game in parts. So
especially in the first half.
That is what his form has been showing lately?
I think he's definitely, well, because there's been a lot of talk, I mean, especially even from us, we mentioned it, he has struggled since coming back. I think the first half especially, he was taking command, he was picking up the ball, he was playing the passes, but he does suffer. Him and Wanyama don't have that same connection that him and Saka have. I mean, he can't, you know, he's a poor kid, he's 17 years old, and I think he's unbelievable, but he isn't Saka, and Odegaard knows that as well. I think, you know, like I said, the first half he was good, second half he was a little bit more, you know, wasn't quite as there. I thought Rice had a really good game. I think he actually won man of the match, but I think he was really solid. That goal that he scored as well was lovely.
Great goal.
Timber did well to play it to him. It was a really nice finish. But I just don't think Odegaard alone could have done enough. Because he's not that goal scorer. I think last year, I don't know what he finished on goals-wise. It was in the teens, kind of like 14, 15 goals in all competitions. But he's not going to go out and create his own goal.
I think he scored against us before. I think.
Yeah.
I just don't think this season he's been at that level.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. I think it's a back
he's still on. At a very high level. Absolutely. But I just don't think he's at that level.
He's still probably our best player. It's a combination of him, Saka and Rice.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I mean, we've got so many good players.
I'm so jealous.
Going back to the game that was today, draw probably a fair result.
It was today and it probably was a fair result. Was a fair result.
Very boring.
I think both teams offered such little.
God.
Low-key super gutted about Manchester United's, like, that chance in the final few minutes. Not literally 93rd minute.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes... not an open goal, because obviously he saved it, so it's obviously not.
Yeah, because that is when you're watching it as well, it looks like the spin, yeah, it could go anywhere.
It was the top spin after, and I thought, gosh, just imagine. And sadly, we have the most out-of-form striker in the world ever in the form of Rasmus Højlund. And if it was someone who had even 10% more luck than he does right now, that ball would have spun into his face, and he would have scored the winning goal.
Yeah.
But it's just not there at the minute, and I think... Yeah, overall looking at it, imagine if the Xerxes flick had gone in. That was cool.
That would have been nice.
That would have been nice. Oh, God, dribbly boy. And, and I think just, 1-1, totally fair reflection. It's such a shame. This game simply means nothing. Mm-hmm. Even means less.
Well, that's
to
the
you.
Thing, isn't it? It's just, like, as me and Taylor are really trying to get hyped up about this game. Because obviously, this happens however many times a year, or three times this year. And it's always the Cormac and Taylor derby. What's going to happen? But this means it's the difference between Arsenal finishing second and maybe third, probably second, for the third year in a row, and United finishing 15th and 12th.
So true. So true.
So who really gets
it? It almost means more to us in the basis that we actually had to play all of our available players today against you just to not lose. Mm-hmm. And that means we're going to be more tired come Thursday when we have the most important game of our season against Real Sociedad at home.
Yeah.
Whereas you guys have already battered PSV 7-1. So it's like, it almost means less to you because you haven't even got to rest anyone for this game.
Exactly.
You can just either go win it, awesome, brilliant, beat Manchester United, or we move on to the next.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of Sociedad there, as you just said, Taylor, you've just come back from 3 days in San Sebastian.
I have.
Went out to watch Man United versus Sociedad. How was your time away? Now, you haven't told me everything. We kept it all for the pod.
We did. It was a fantastic away, European away venue. The game itself was so meh, so stinky.
Yeah.
Firstly, I'll start with the fact that Real Sociedad Stadium, they trapped the away fans.
Dog shit.
Yeah. At the highest point of the stadium, and they stick a pillar in front of the the pitch, and they also stick a huge net in front of the pitch. So unless you're at the absolute optimum angle, you are going to see about 40% of the game.
Which as a United fan is probably as much as you want to see.
Thankfully, I had managed to consume enough beers before the game that I took my 40% way down to approximately about 3%. And the game was so mad. The most exciting point, I'd say, of the game, outside of obviously Xerxes outside of the box, nice pass back by Garnacho. Keeper should have saved it.
Oh, God.
But, you know, I will simply take what I will, you know, what I'm given. And outside of that, the most exciting bit was when I thought the Real Sociedad player who had challenged Garnacho post-corner was getting a red card. And my friend Herb turned to me and said...
Wait, shout out Herb, by the way. He's going to be a regular feature of this podcast.
Everyone's going to see a lot more of Herb, I'm so sorry. But shout out my boy Herb. He's going to absolutely love the shout out. But he's going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
But he turns to me and he says... Oh, it's a red card for the guy challenged Garnacho. I was like, that's brilliant. I start going, yes, with happiness. I'm like, come on. And then I look at the screen and then I see potential penalty check. And I'm like,
fuck's
cool.
Sake.
Nice. Yeah, I should have really anticipated it. No idea what the penalty is for. Still don't know what the penalty is for. If someone wants to comment and enlighten me on what the penalty was actually for, I'm more than happy to know about it. But all I know is that they scored the penalty and it went to 1-1.
Yep.
And I think outside of that period where Manchester United scored and Real Sociedad equalised, we had chances to double our lead. We had the chances to score in the form of, for example, Dalot being... Apparently, he's got a really deadly allergy. And it's the allergy of crossing the ball into the box first time.
There was a moment there where I thought, I was like, oh God, wait, hang on. Yeah. He just played, what do you mean?
No. He has got one deadly allergy. Shame.
As your player of the season, actually, you should watch what you say.
Yeah, it's true. He was our last year's player of the season. But this season, blimey. We've just watched the game and there was a very poignant moment in when he got the ball on the far line after we had retrieved it from a set piece. And he just kicked out of play. kicked out of play. Ball. I was like, it's probably the best cross he's put in all night. And to not watch him cross the ball to Højlund, despite Højlund even getting in front of his man, was as close to a heartbreak as I've probably ever experienced.
Yeah,
it was up there with the worst. So the game was lackluster. The stadium was lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, outside of that though, probably the best city I've ever been to in my life.
I would say, you said that to me. You had the best time ever because you'd never been to Northern Spain before.
I lived in Spain for a year. I lived in Southern Spain for a year. And it's brilliant down there, but damn, it's just too hot. And there's
got the whole life there.
San Sebastian has beautiful beaches. It's a beautifully sized city. I had a fantastic day where it was 18 degrees. I was able to sit down, eat the pinchos, which is their form of tapas. And they have more Michelin star restaurants in that city per head than anywhere else in the world outside of Paris. So the food quality there, I just noticed to be fantastic. I ate so much good food. I drank so much good wine. And the whole vibe of the city is just, it's great. Everyone's super friendly. And nice. I was able to practice my Spanish and get along with the locals really well. And everyone's outside of the football, it was fantastic. And anyone listening, I would 100% recommend visiting because you will just have a fantastic time. So outside of that, it was beautiful. I was able to go for a run on the beach. I was able to go for a swim. It was freezing. And
so outside of being a Man United fan, you'd recommend going?
100%. Yeah. And even as a Manchester United fan, we most likely won't play Bilbao in the semis because they've just lost to Roma 3-1, but almost definitely going to Bilbao for the final. Yeah. So as we were there, the Manchester United fans, one of the chants of
the night. Is that where the final is? Is it in Bilbao?
It's in Bilbao. Oh, so one of the chants of the evening is, and United are going to Bilbao. And I mean, I sang it.
Did you believe it?
I don't quite believe it, which is probably why I can sing it with full gusto, you know. But
sure.
I desperately tried to get into it and sing it with pure belief. And if we do end up in Bilbao again, I will 100% be going back to San Sebastian. So all in all, fantastic time and would 100% recommend to them.
What do you think then going into the next game? What do you fancy your chance? So 1-1, going to Old Trafford on Thursday.
That's a great question. Honestly, anything can happen.
That's a very safe bet.
It's a very safe bet. And normally I'm very formative in my opinions on what's going to happen. But in this case, I really couldn't guess, because our squad right now is down to its bare bones, and they didn't have Zubimendi for the last game because he was ill. I imagine he's recovered and he's back. And
I think it'll be an interesting game on Thursday.
Yeah, I think it will be.
I think so.
Yeah, and I think, who knows? I just desperately hope we win, man. We just need a win.
Yeah.
We just need a win. It feels like we go so long between wins.
Yeah.
So
well, you do. You shouldn't feel like it. You do go so long.
We truly do. So
if you win this game on Thursday, mm-hmm. who do you play in the next round?
We most likely play Lyon.
Okay.
They'd just be FCSB 3-1, I believe, mm-hmm. in the first leg. So it looks like it's going to be Lyon. We get there when we get there.
Exactly. I'll believe it when I see it. Cross that bridge when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. I believe it when I see it. So
on the back of that, should we go into the other European games?
Yeah, let's touch. Firstly, I think I'm going to start with the probably the most outstanding result of the game week, in that Arsenal 7, PSV 1.
No one saw that coming, including me. I mean, if you listen to the last episode, I was so sceptical, and I was very. I think I said a draw. And PSV, I think the biggest highlight was PSV were just bad, really bad, and we just played through them like it was nothing, celebration, but we looked really good, which is frustrating now watching that United game, because we looked like we played through them, and PSV were just so bad. We played balls through, making the right runs, everyone was finishing, Trossard looked great, Rice was amazing, Odegaard looked good, and yeah, 7 goals is outrageous. I mean, obviously, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but it feels like we're through to the next round. And it looks like it's going to be Real Madrid. We don't have to touch on the Arsenal game too much more, because 7-1's pretty decisive. But I didn't watch the Madrid game. I only watched the highlights. Real versus Atletico. You watched that. 2-1 Real. They felt like the better team, I think, probably. I mean, they've just got that quality, haven't they? Vinicius is so good.
I tell you what, that game did not have lots, but it did have those sprinkles of quality.
Yeah.
I thought both the first 2 goals, firstly from Rodrigo, what a goal from Rodrigo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Followed
yeah.
by Julian Alvarez. Fantastic goal by Julian Alvarez. Yeah. It was not much until it was something. And when it was something, it provided an extraordinary goal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Real Madrid just... either team could have scored. It was one of those where... That, yeah. And it just happened to end up 2-1. There was no... I didn't think Real Madrid had tactically outdone Atletico. Mm. I didn't think Atletico had played the game of their lives. I very much thought it was just a game of football where either team could have come out on top, and it happened to have been Real Madrid. Mm. Obviously, for Real Madrid, that's fantastic, because now they get to take it to Atletico away and, you know, almost have something to hold on to.
Yeah.
But at this now, seeing and knowing what I know, and seeing Real Madrid take that lead into the next leg, you could probably have a pretty good bet on them getting through.
It feels like.
So then, what do you think if it was to be a Arsenal-Real Madrid matchup?
I'd love it to be an Arsenal-Real Madrid matchup.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's what you want.
I really want that.
I think most people would prefer to play Real over Atleti, on the basis that Atleti are just so shit to play against.
Exactly.
Whereas I think Real could be different.
We've never had any luck with Atleti, like, especially in Europa League. Same. Back in the day, it was Same. Always fuck us. And we do a lot with the Spanish teams, Arsenal. Not saying we're going to beat Madrid, but the last time we did beat Madrid in the European competition, we went to the final, which was 2006, and we ended up losing. So
You still lost.
Yep, but yeah. You know, what a moment that was. That was
a nice point. Let's move on.
Yeah, that is the first memory I really have of Arsenal, was the 2006 Champions League final. Yeah. And I remember crying, and not really knowing why, I don't think, because I remember Sol Campbell scoring that header, and then Lehmann getting sent off. I'm pretty sure Almunia came on and went in goal.
Strong.
Yeah, which is huge. And then, and then I think it was, what's his name? He used to play for Celtic and Barcelona.
Larsson.
Yeah, the game of all games.
Yeah.
And I don't remember seeing this at the time, but this is hindsight, because I was 6 years old when the game was happening, or 7 years old. But I would love Real Madrid. I think it would be such an intricate thing. By all means, are we not the favourites? And in fact, are we going to beat them? Who knows? But I would love us to have a game with them. Even if we did get knocked out, which would suck, I'd love us to just compete. And if we can compete, that means so much.
I think if you live in a world where you go up against Real Madrid and the tie ends like 4-3 to Madrid,
I think
you
take.
I think
that. Well, you take that, but you, no, you can hang your head off.
No, but that's something for the guys to hang their hats on.
Exactly.
And be like, this, we didn't quite get there, but you obviously are making improvements slowly but surely. And I think even if you lose, but I still think you're going to lose. I still think you're going to lose. Okay, so let's move on to the Liverpool-PSG game. PSG 0, Liverpool 1.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most ridiculous game of football to ever exist, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Cormac, did you happen to watch this absolute nightmare fest?
Well, if we haven't made it clear yet, this podcast is a Liverpool hate podcast. And God damn it, they absolutely ruined us this game. PSG looked unbelievable, apart from anything that involved putting the ball in the net.
So true.
And Alisson had the game of his life. I mean, he's always, I think, probably been maybe the best keeper in the world, top three keeper in the world, whatever it may be. He's been electric, and that alone saved them there. And then Harvey Elliott scoring the winner on top of all that. In the 83rd, 87th, something. 87th. Every 7th minute. Yeah. God damn it. I mean, credit to Liverpool. It's the ultimate smash and grab, as everyone said before. But god damn. PSG were all over them. Dembele was unbelievable. You texted me saying, who was it that you really loved?
Nuno Mendes had kept Salah in his pocket the entire game.
Well, Salah was
game.
Dead quiet.
It's because of Nuno Mendes. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as Salah went off and Harvey Elliott was brought on,
I've always said Harvey Elliott's been a better player than
Nuno Mendes disappeared, and then there we go, just like that, just like that.
No, absolutely. Unbelievably frustrating watch for someone who, actually, to be fair, I do dislike PSG.
I dislike them less than Liverpool, though. So.
I don't know. I kind of like the new and PSG, actually, to be fair, because they got rid of Neymar and Mbappe and Messi, and they've kind of had this younger squad.
Vibes are switching.
Vibes are switching, so I do enjoy them a lot more. But I'm still frustrated that Liverpool was able to go out and get the win. But I mean, absolutely fair play. It was a fucking big Darwin with the assist as well.
Yeah.
Which is great. He scored yesterday.
It's not great at all.
No, it's
but
not great.
It's a thing.
It is a thing. It's definitely a thing.
Liverpool were just so unbelievably lucky. Mm-hmm. Just so PSG outplayed them in every facet of the game.
Yeah.
There was that first half where PSG literally regained the ball every 3-4 seconds, every time Liverpool had managed to retrieve possession. The worst compliment I can give it is that it reminded me of watching Manchester United play, in terms of just being up against a calibre of opponent which you simply cannot contain.
Yeah.
And I thought PSG were just all over them.
They were so good.
It was so obviously they were better.
Pulling up some stats here right now, looking at that. PSG had 70% possession.
That's insane.
They had a 1.8 XG to Liverpool's 0.27. And Liverpool had a 0 XG up until that Harvey Elliott shot.
Really?
As well.
Wow.
So they were absolutely all over them.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27 shots to Liverpool's 2.
That's crazy, man.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy, man. And it's the type of victory that if your club gets it specifically, you're over the moon with.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, this is awesome. You feel all the vibes. Whereas you're just, I'm just someone. I'm not a neutral.
Definitely not a neutral.
Put that
definitely
on record immediately. I'm not a neutral.
God.
But to see that happen, I'm just like, I actually watched the game as well and thought, I cannot believe the PSG had not scored here.
I know. It was outrageous. Yeah. And again, Alisson had the
shout
absolute
out.
Performance.
Yeah. Shout
out. I really like Alisson.
Yeah.
It's always Alisson. Been better than Edison.
Oh,
always been better
not
than
even
Edison.
A conversation, in
no.
my opinion.
I completely agree. I listened to the Overlap podcast. They had Casper Schmeichel on this week. And I really liked him actually. He came across really well. And
he did.
He really knew a lot about. But he was always like talking about how much he loved Edison.
Yeah.
And again, he has, to be fair, maybe a smidge more credit talking about goalkeepers than I do. Slightly.
I don't know, man. I question that.
Yeah, no, you're right. Probably,
it's pretty even.
But he is a big Edison guy. And I get it.
Really?
Yeah, I get it in the sense that he has an unbelievable ability to play out from the back. But I just think Alisson has got close to Edison in that, but 10 times the amount when it comes to saves and competency.
Because
Edison has that bozo gene, which
100%.
Ramsdale's always
had.
Way
to phrase it.
Gabriel, as a defender, used to have a few years ago. It's something that Arsenal...
What Onana has. It's the bozo gene.
It's the bozo gene, exactly.
Such
shout out Patrick Van Straassen, by the way, on football, who's... He's coined that phrase. I'm stealing that completely off him.
Shout out, brother.
But yeah, I can't believe Liverpool managed to get that. But that will be such an interesting game on Tuesday. With that 1-0 win going into Anfield.
Prediction on that? What's your thoughts?
I think Liverpool will do it. Mm-hmm. I think it's either going to finish 0-0 or...
No, there's no way it finishes 0-0.
I think it could, you know. You reckon? I think Liverpool could really frustrate them. Okay. I'm going to say 1-1.
Interesting.
Darwizzy goal.
Yeah. I actually think from that first leg, the team that comes away more confident is PSG. Because they're just like, we absolutely outplayed them in every facet of the game. Mm-hmm. We just need to put the ball in the back of the net, which they have done plentiful amounts. I'm going to go crazy. And I'm going to suggest that PSG actually win this 2-0.
Okay. I like that.
No. Hold up. Hold up.
Go on then, for sure.
3-1 PSG. Because I do think Liverpool score.
Yeah. All right. I like that. That'd be interesting. I think that'd be a good game, though. That's the game to watch this week. Talking really quickly about the other European games this week. Bayern Munich beat Leverkusen 3-0.
Boring.
I don't know, I definitely said Leverkusen would do them.
I think I definitely also said Leverkusen will do them.
Very boring. Harry Kane, 2 goals.
Funny note on this is that both teams this weekend in the Bundesliga lost. So wow, Leverkusen lost and Bayern also lost to Bochum. I think they were 2-1 up or 2-0 up and then João Palhinha got sent off in the 42nd minute. And they went on to lose the game. Massive. So Leverkusen had a chance to even close in on the title to Bayern.
Yeah.
Still missed that opportunity. Lost the first leg 3-0. I now don't see a world where anything other than a Bayern.
No.
Bayern victory out of this double leg comes out. So
I think so.
Easy as done.
Frustrating. Milan as well, 2-0 against Feyenoord. That was pretty predictable. That's really
boring. Yeah, boring.
I've only seen the very brief highlights of that. Barcelona beat Benfica 1-0 with 10 men as well.
That's quite interesting. I think to go down to 10 men in the 22nd minute, you know, takes something away from home as well to summon the courage to go on to win. I think that was huge. So good for them. I think at the up in the Olympico, up in the hills, they shall proceed past Benfica, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. And then another exciting game actually was the Villa Bruges one. To be fair, where Villa beat Bruges 3-1 away, and I think I would say confidently Villa are probably going to go through to the next.
Club Bruges were the masters of their own downfall. They've capitulated a bit in the last few minutes. They conceded an own goal, apparently it was a dreadful own goal, then conceded a penalty. I think they brought it on themselves. I thought they'd do better at home in the first leg. I don't see them bringing it back round. Villa Park's going to be popping off. I think it's going to be...
That will be Villa against either Liverpool or PSG in the next round. Which is going to be really
fun. Imagine a Liverpool Villa. That'd be awesome. Great for British football.
Absolutely. I'd love that. And then finally, very quickly, Dortmund versus Lille. Do you see that goal, the Dortmund goal, though?
Oh, I did. It was beautifully hit.
So sweet.
That's what we love football for. Imagine us on the park earlier with the lightest size.
Doing it with our eyes closed.
Realistically, size 3 size football ever. And just with approximately a metre and a half distance between the two of us. Imagine that, but going into the net at full speed and perfectly hit times a million. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what you're going for.
Yeah, I think so. But I put Lille to get Dortmund in that. And now it's 1-1 going into the next round. I think we might have both said Lille again. We'll refer back to our predictions at some point. Probably do it for the next pod or the next time there's European games.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think so. I still fancy Lille on that one.
I still fancy Lille, yeah.
That's it. All right, then going on now, I think probably to the Premier League games just over the weekend. I mean, the big talking point really is kind of the Champions League spots and the early kickoff yesterday, which was Forest versus City. Forest being City 1-0 in that 80th minute Hudson-Odoi goal. It was a pretty dull game, really. Mm. But that is a huge game in terms of the race for the Champions League. Because on the back of that as well, Chelsea have won today as well, which we'll come on to in a minute. That now puts City in fifth, which makes things... Obviously, that does qualify them for the Champions League. But they are only now 1 point ahead of Brighton, 2 points ahead of Villa, who have had an extra game, and 3 points ahead of Bournemouth, who are joint on games with City. It feels like Forest could do it and qualify now. They're 2 points clear now of fourth. They're in third. Do you reckon they're going to hold on?
Firstly, I want to start on the fact that Callum Hudson-Odoi, £3 million, baller. By the way, from baller. Chelsea. What a magnificent piece of business.
Mm-hmm.
These are the type of punts that clubs like Forest should be taking.
Yeah.
Because there is so much dividends to signing someone for £3 million. It's similar, it's akin to what Crystal Palace have done with Emile Sarr.
Yep.
From Marseille, 12 million.
12 mil for him. Yeah.
And just these players who have so much potential quality, and if maybe they have the consistent game time to go for it. Hudson-Odoi scoring a winner against Manchester City for beautiful. A team third in the league, and it's not Chelsea. It's beautiful.
God, thank God for that.
Thank goodness. Yeah, it's brilliant. Yeah. And I think Nottingham Forest have... It's unbelievable almost. We're living in a world right now where Nottingham Forest have just beat Manchester City 1-0, and it's not the most spoken about thing in the world, because for so long, in previous seasons, had Manchester City lost 1-0 to Forest, the world would have been like, this is the craziest result of all time. But no, actually, we're living in a world where we're going into this game, and Nottingham Forest are ahead of Manchester City in the Premier League, and are having this all-time season.
Mm-hmm.
One for the ages. It's almost, beautiful. You know, it's... We're a week into March and they're third in the Prem. And they're not too far behind Arsenal. They're four points behind, I believe. So, I mean, just credit to them. Credit for them. I don't know how they've done it because I don't agree at all with their strategy. If my club went through the strategy of buying 22 first-team players in their first season in the Prem, getting rid of 11 of them or even more of them and just completely going again and buying all these more all more players, and it's just they keep going. But they've managed to stumble across something which is just completely and utterly worked. And you actually look at their team now and they've just got quality throughout. I think, you know, obviously Chris Wood, maybe the best player in the world.
He might be the best player in the world. Yeah.
You've got Callum Hudson-Odoi, you've got Mario and Milenkovic as centre-back, and I think you've got Sells and goal who... maybe in another team wouldn't be able to operate as well because he'd have to pass out the back more.
Yeah.
But in this team, that's not what they're about.
Gibbs White,
fantastic football player. You know, Anthony Elanga, shout out my boy Anthony Elanga.
Love Elanga.
He's an athlete. He's more of an athlete than a football player.
Probably. But
I can't. Boy, would I love a bit of that in a Manchester United team. You know, I'd kill for an inch of athleticism. God. You know. So I think credit to what they've done, and all I want to say on Manchester City is, lol, you're going to get relegated.
Yeah, that's it. But Sells, you said there, so he's got the Golden Glove as things stand. He's got 12 clean sheets, which is two ahead of Raya. Or Raya? I don't even know. I always say Raya.
I think it's David Raya.
Okay, let's say Raya then, just for the sake of, you know, probably what it is.
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm probably wrong.
I'm going to butcher it in English. But yeah, so he's two ahead, which shows how good Forest have been defensively. But yeah, City now, 9 defeats, I believe, all season, which is more than the last two seasons combined. I'm pretty sure that's a stat that I'm not making up. Big summer spending coming.
No, they're going to get relegated.
Oh, they're not going to get relegated.
They will. My brain sits on.
Sorry, real quick, just editing that.
My brain sits on. That they're going to get a big fine, maybe. I think it's a slap on the wrist fine.
Yeah.
Out of anything.
Like 10 mil fine.
Yeah, but my heart says League 2, transfer ban, everything stripped. No, I mean, even if they got found guilty, they wouldn't get anything stripped because the Premier League won't want to rewrite history.
Yeah.
Because it strips some of its greatest moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do, you know, it goes one of two ways. But anyway, so maybe if they get fined, they get fined and they have a transfer ban.
Yeah,
so if they avoid those two things, then I think big summer spending coming. Did you spend 200 mil?
January.
Yeah, in January. I mean, I think Kucinov, he's been pretty good for them since he's come in. I think outside of that first half against Chelsea, I think he's been pretty solid.
For
I think
19-year-old.
For a very young chap who's obviously really adapting, I think he's showing a lot of promise for them, which is good.
And Manouche as well, I don't necessarily
think in recent history Manchester United
it's always on the brain.
Manchester City haven't bought
bad about football club, you can't help it.
No, I know. Manchester City have not bought well really
in the last few years,
for a while now, outside of Erling Haaland. 3 years ago. I don't think they've spent much money very well. So it'll be interesting.
It'll be an interesting summer, I think, for a lot of teams.
Overall, LOL, City, good for Forest.
Very good for Forest. I think then kind of looking at that top four, five, we're talking about the Brighton-Fulham game a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
2-1 in the end, they got a last-minute penalty, which was a little bit shoddy, really. Your two favourite players combined for Brighton's first goal, Van Hecke goal, Calvin Bassey, fuck up, I say, it was his man. But I don't know if you've seen the penalty that Brighton got given.
Neither footballer should be playing Premier League football.
I know.
So yeah. I don't need to see what the out are there. It's like me and you playing a game for Premier League football team.
Well, that it's meant to be.
And then maybe, but probably more than them two, actually.
Yeah.
And then conceding a penalty against one of those. Well, then they shouldn't be playing anyway, so what are they doing?
But because now Brighton are sixth. We're looking at the table right now. Brighton are sixth, 3 points off Chelsea in fourth. 1 point off City in fifth even. And then Fulham are 10th. And they're still only five points off fifth.
It's close.
With 10 games left. Which isn't an outrageous push.
No.
In 10th.
No.
So that top four fight is crazy. With Newcastle in 9th. We're playing tomorrow night. Bournemouth, Villa, Brighton, City and Chelsea and Forest. I know Arsenal were so clear. But it's going to be interesting there.
I hope it's interesting.
I think it's the only thing really left because looking at the kind of the bottom three, that kind of feels settled for on the league, obviously. And it's just going to be, I think that's going to be the thing that comes down to the final day.
Yeah.
Especially if what feels like we're going to get that fifth place in Champions League, which feels fairly.
You know, imagine we live in a world where for whatever reason, Chelsea and Man City continue kind of this malaise that they're both going through and then Brighton and Villa and maybe even a Bournemouth, for example. It's only point. It's all, you know, sneaking. Imagine if we lived in a world. Shout out Fabian Hertzler, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro's 32.
Wild.
Bro's not many years off managing in the Premier League.
I know.
And not just managing, but doing arguably a better job than De Zerbi, who is much coveted, is doing with, considering the players they've sold and, they actually spent the most money in the whole of Europe last year.
Yeah.
So that is one thing. But they're doing it with a different perspective than anyone else because they're not spending their money for glory. They're not spending their money for league titles. If they got far in a cup competition, that's a success. They're not in Europe. Mm. So they're not spending their money for that goal. They're seeing it as like, we're going to buy these potential players and bring them in, see how they do, blood them into Premier League football. Mm-hmm. And if it works, it could be amazing because they're very high on our data charts and they're being scouted for a reason. So we bring them in, we give them the opportunity to play and see how they do. And they've obviously married that together with a very young coach. And when they were 10th this season and they'd had that period of form where they were struggling, that's still such an overachievement. Yeah. So for them to be where they are now, I think it's just fantastic for them. I think so much good planning has gone into what Brighton have done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And seeing the dividends of it, it really can show to you how, if you have your house in order, how important that can be to where you actually end up finishing.
Six wins on the bounce now as well for an all competition for Brighton.
Brilliant. Good luck to them. Absolutely. Honestly, good luck. Everyone wants to see it.
Brighton, Bournemouth, Forest. I just want them to beat City, Chelsea.
That's what the Prem's about this season, it feels like. You look at the FA Cup, who's left in it. You look at the Premier League, who's sitting 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. And it's just like, have it.
Yeah, absolutely. Liverpool, Southampton. Liverpool did go 1-0 down early. And they came back 1-3-1.
Salah, Ballon d'Or, 2 penalties, stink sesh.
Yeah, he did. I saw he has the new record for the most points in FPL. So, fantasy football, a fantasy football record for most points in a season.
Already? No way.
Which is wild.
That's crazy.
If you're into that, which I am, unfortunately, I'm in three different leagues and I'm very mid-table in all of them. But now that all, so he's got two goals that last game. That now puts him up to 184, which is three behind Andy Cole in fourth place for overall Premier League goals and joint with Aguero. Wow. Right, here's a question for you. Who would you rather have in your team, Aguero or Salah?
That might be the worst question anyone's ever asked me.
To me, it's easy.
Do you think? I think Aguero, personally.
I would say Salah.
Would you?
I would definitely say Salah.
Every time I watched Aguero, I just thought this guy is
getting a goal.
Yeah, this guy's getting a goal. He is what a striker should be.
Sure.
They don't make him like him anymore.
No, they don't.
You know, like thick bottom boys.
Thick bottom boys.
It's an insane thing to say on record.
Absolutely. That's the ad right there. That's the trailer for the pod. Thick Bottom Boys featuring Cormac and Taylor. Come back.
That's insane. Oh, but it's true, God. Though. They don't make him quite like him anymore. I just think... No, I just can't pick Salah. I hate Liverpool too much.
I really like Salah, you know.
I get it.
And they're different players on there as well. Obviously, Salah's a winger. Yeah. Aguero is one of
which makes it almost more impressive that he scored as many goals as he has. But I just think Aguero being a striker to score that many goals is very impressive in itself.
Yeah, true. I think he's probably got... I think Aguero did, or he's definitely close, had the most goals to game or the goals per minute ratio.
Yeah,
or
I think...
One of them ones, whatever it was.
I always think like iconic moments. And naturally, you have that moment again for them to win.
I don't even know what you're on about, actually.
The Premier League winning goal against QPR in like the 96th minute. Stupid shit. And I think I remember watching him against Manchester United so many times and him scoring a great goal. Granted, Salah has also scored many goals against us. So
yeah,
I just personally remember Aguero. And it's probably nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia is a heavy draw.
Yeah. But anyway, still... Yeah.
Going back to the Liverpool thing, so Darwin Nunez, as he's known by Dog Lizzie, got a goal, which is wild. He still looks as crazy as he's ever looked. Every time he gets the ball, he gets snatches everything. Do Liverpool get rid of him in the summer? It feels like they probably do, right?
I think so, yeah. I think firstly that should have been a red card. Dreadful challenge.
Red card?
Yeah, do you think so? Because
no.
I think
if he can enter with the player better, I think
if you're a referee and these refs know who these players are.
But you don't want the refs to do that though, surely. You don't want the players to ref off reputation.
No, I don't, but also I think you have to take that into consideration. I don't think you can just do it completely unbiasedly. Because I don't think
that's what happened with Xhaka with Arsenal when he was there. He would put in a yellow card challenge and we get sent off all the time for it.
No, I just think, for example, there's other players who wouldn't ever it's not going through their brain to do that in that moment. Mm. Whereas for him,
it was a frustration. It was a frustration.
That wasn't even to stop the move. That was an aggressive esque challenge.
Sure. Still wasn't red for me though.
No, I think it. I mean, maybe it's just because I hate Liverpool, but I just think I just see a world where, for example, if Casemiro did that and
fuck Casemiro, that's why.
Well, yeah, probably. And I think if Casemiro had done that, everyone's looking at that and thinking, is that a red? And there's a chance where it gets turned into a red. So I think it can be a perception-based thing sometimes.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think that's fair. But yeah, I think he's gone in the summer, isn't he? As entertaining as he is to watch, he probably is
gone. He has Manchester United written all over him. From when we could have bought him a few years ago.
Yeah, but how much did they buy him for in the end?
It was like 80 million euros. Yeah, it was insane. So crazy. About 70 million pounds.
Wow.
So Man U were very close to signing him. Hmm. And that would have just been so Man U had we done it. So I'm glad Liverpool took that bullet for us. But yeah.
All right, touching on the other games then from this weekend. Brentford versus Villa. Taylor, give me a stat from that game, please.
Ollie Watkins has scored 6 goals in 7 games against his former side.
Wow, what a stat that is. That's a great stat.
It's a crazy stat.
Villa up to 7th, 2 points behind 5th, so they can still push for Champions League. They played that extra game. I don't think they'll do it. I just think they're so far. I think I would like them. It's kind of like an unbiased. I've got no real strong feelings about Villa. I'd like them to have a bit of a push in the Champions League, whatever that looks like. I mean, it probably means that they're going to beat Bruges in the next round. And then play either Liverpool or PSG and probably... But they'll be the underdogs in that sense. But I'd like them to beat either of those teams, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I think... I actually don't think Villa get enough credit for what they've done.
I think you're right. Considering they got what...
No,
promoted, 6 years ago? I don't know. I'm kind of putting that number
on my ass a little bit. I even go as recently, as far back as the fact that they had Steven Gerrard in charge and were tremendously dreadful. Like, they were, you know, going on relegation form.
Mm-hmm.
And in that very short period of time since Unai Emery has taken over, they have completely transformed the club and have overachieved in pretty much every sense of the word and have just done so well. And the fact that they're in the Champions League this season, based on last year, brilliant in itself. The fact that they are going to be progressing to the next round of Champions League is fantastic. And the fact that they are still within touching distance in the table of Champions League plays, considering the added fixtures that they've had to face in the Champions League, I think that's brilliant. I think absolute credit to
Emery, innit?
Yeah.
It's all Emery, isn't it?
Emery and the club for bringing him in and trusting him. And, you know, annoyingly, I hate, you know, hate that I'm going to say this, but they see him as their Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, wow, that's a sentence there.
No, they do. That's why they gave him the extra contract. That's why they brought his amigo Monchi in. And they,
like the long hair geezer, isn't it?
Yeah. And he has been dovetailing with Emery on all their signings and all their style of play and everything. And I think they've just really hit a great spot.
Sure.
So, yeah, credit to Villa. Credit to Villa.
Credit to them. Palace Ipswich, that finished 1-0. Saar scoring the winner there.
Bargain.
Yeah, absolutely. Was it? We mentioned that 12 million, you say? Yep. Unbelievable, actually. I think Palace are, I think they're 8 wins in the last 10.
Yep.
I think that's a stat.
They started badly as well, so they've really
clawed it back.
Really
to finish
well.
In the most Palace position of all time, which is 12 currently.
Good for them.
Good for them.
Consistency is good.
Mateta being out as well. Nketiah played all right, to be fair to him. I just want him to do well.
Yeah.
I really want him to do well. And I think he moved to Palace at such a bad time.
Such a maybe, man.
I know.
In another world, I could have definitely seen Eddie Nketiah being what Arsenal like needed.
Yeah.
But he's a maybe man. He just almost did it, but never quite did it.
I just don't think he's quite good enough. Yeah. Is the only thing.
Yeah.
And he, like I say, moved to Palace just as Mateta decided to become the best player in the world.
It's insane.
Which is so unlucky. And he did start yesterday. He played all right.
Right, man. When he comes to United, Nketiah will have all that.
Oh, I think you meant Nketiah. Oh, no. I would have been like,
man. No, 40 million for Mateta in the summer. We're bringing the boy home.
God, that stinks.
Tucked in shirt, shaved head. We're about to see the most ridiculous era of Manchester United you've ever gone see.
Oh, God, not that United shirt. God damn. Yeah. Right, really quickly, Wolves Everton, who cares, basically, is what I've got noted down here. Yeah, I'm beating an
actually,
eight.
It massively matters to Manchester United's league position.
actually, it really does.
Actually, I truly deeply care because every position in the Premier League is, I think it's like an extra X amount of million for how you scale. So for as long as these guys drew, which they did.
1-1, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbeaten in 8 now since Moyes has taken over.
It's insane.
Which is
ridiculous. Absolutely
which,
insane,
by the way, Moyes hasn't done since he was at Everton.
It's insane.
So whilst at that.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Yeah. I think both teams are pretty comfortably safe now. It feels like
I love a rom-com, and this is my football equivalent of a rom-com. David Moyes back at Everton.
That's all it is. Honestly, and then quickly on the games today, Spurs 2-0 down initially, came back to win 2-2.
I guess for Tottenham, it almost it's the biggest trophy they got all season.
Oh yeah, it was. We didn't actually properly watch these games. I've seen some few highlights on my phone, but we were watching.
We were just too busy in the pub.
Yeah, priorities. And then Chelsea as well, doing Leicester, which has put them into fourth place, and probably buried Leicester.
Sounds like a dreadful day for Maresca Ball.
It does sound like a terrible day for Maresca Ball. I mean, I've seen a lot of Chelsea fans turning on him, you know.
Yeah, well, I think as we said previously, as he's moved forward with the style of play, he's got progressively worse, which is never a good sign.
No.
So,
that's it.
We'll see.
But that's just last week in football, basically. That's what I hear. The week ahead is looking interesting. Next Sunday is quite a spicy day in football, because that will be the League Cup / Carabao Cup final, Liverpool versus Newcastle. And I don't really care who wins, to be completely honest with you. I think I'd probably rather Liverpool win. I don't know if that's something you agree with there, Taylor. I don't know if you can
over Newcastle. No, I don't. I think it'd be really funny if Liverpool lose, and I can almost get over Newcastle winning because
The thing is, I really liked Newcastle.
We've already beat them.
I really like Newcastle because I got family from Newcastle. All my dad's family are originally from Newcastle, so I've always had an affiliation with them. But then obviously the big takeover happened, and Newcastle fans became a pain in my ass because they always beat us.
Yeah,
and now I just like fuck Newcastle.
Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by Saudi Airways.
Exactly. Actually, that being said, if they do want to sponsor us and give us a lot of money,
yeah, I will.
We will happily take it. I will sell out my soul for a bunch of Saudi money. Do not worry about
it.
A Saudi
sponsorship could definitely come up close right now.
Oh my god, that would be huge
for some podcast equipment. But yeah, I don't care either. No. Either or really, don't care.
But we've got some big European games obviously this week, so to kind of finish off that Arsenal through the who knows. But United on Thursday, Liverpool versus PSG on Tuesday, and all the other European games, which we'll come back to next week. And then, obviously, some Premier League games. Arsenal playing Chelsea, United playing Leicester. But the League Cup final, me and Taylor are going to watch together again. So hopefully you get this again. this horrible lighting in-person video, which has hopefully, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I don't know if you guys can probably tell, but there's been so many cuts in this video. We've given Cormac so many edits to do, and there's going to be a pain in the ass and interesting to figure out how it goes. But I'd like to think this has been a bit of another success of a podcast.
Nothing but dubs in the chat.
Nothing
boys.
But dubs. I think this episode is probably hovering around the 45-minute mark. Maybe a little bit longer again, but I think we've absolutely smashed it.
Yeah, man. We just love talking about football.
We can't
stop.
That's
what it's all about. Yeah. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, it's a day for the boys.
It's a great day for the boys.
Yeah. So let's look forward to another, I'm sure, wonderful week of football and see what comes. I cannot wait to see how wrong we got all of our predictions.
Oh, God, it's gonna be embarrassing. We posted our first TikTok, actually.
Boom.
Go and look at that. It's probably on about 300 views right now and 3 likes.
We're absolutely massive.
We didn't call Benzema a nonce, but someone did in the comments, and we happened to agree with them. You know, who's to say on that? Alleged, by the way. I don't know if this is going to come back to haunt us
at
some
point. Allegedly.
Go look at that. We tweet a bit more now. We're doing more stuff. There's going to be clips from this. I'm doing this with my hands because I mean business. Taylor, sign us off, please.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. I hope you tune in for the next one. Have a great rest of the week whenever you're listening to this, and we will see you on the next episode. Mucho gracias.
Thanks, guys.